Star Wars 7x7 episode 3552. We're going to do our last episode on Acolyte stuff, for the time being at least. And this is the one thing that we hadn't yet gotten to in our discussion post-trailer, is that Leslie Headland has given a number of interviews since the trailer came out, and so I've collected some interesting tidbits of information along with some other stuff that she's said in the past to try and give us a little bit more depth in terms of what we think the Acolyte is all about. Punch it. Hey, Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you so much to the patrons who help make the creation and production of this show possible with their support at patreon.com/SW7X7. So we're going to talk once more about the Acolyte, because Leslie Headland, who is the creator and showrunner of The Acolyte, has been giving interviews since the trailer came out last week, and she's shared some interesting new information, so I thought it might be fun to combine it with stuff that we already know and see what it tells us. So we'll start with the fact that there's been a new movie added to the list of influences that she's drawing upon, Leslie Headland is, and that is Rashomon. So the continuing influence of Akira Kurosawa on Star Wars is present here. And Rashomon is a story where basically different perspectives are given on a story that happens, and you don't necessarily know which story is true and which story is false. By the end of it, actually, you still don't necessarily know which story and which version of events is the correct one, although one is kind of presented as the one that seems the most real, the most honest. And Headland's given us the idea that the structure of The Acolyte is going to work kind of in a similar fashion, in that it is a serialized story and that we are going to learn more things about the story at its heart from the varying perspectives that we see the story being told through, whether it's the Jedi or whether it's Mei or who knows else is going to be involved in it. For a second and third takeaways, we're going to talk about the original pitch that Leslie Headland provided in saying that The Acolyte would be Frozen meets Kill Bill. And so I'm going to take Kill Bill second. Based on what we saw in The Acolyte trailer, it seems worth pointing out that Kill Bill takes place in multiple time periods, and it's not linear. We are in the present, we're in the past, we're in a different, not so distant past, and we're back in the present again. It jumps back and forth. It's also worth flagging that there is a mentorship relationship here that goes wrong. And of course, it is also crazy wild with the martial arts situation. And so when Headland is presenting this idea as Frozen meets Kill Bill, well, that's where the martial arts side of things works its way into the idea of the pitch. And now to our third takeaway, which is the Frozen aspect. So we know that Frozen involves two sisters who are separated at a young age. One of those sisters has a certain set of powers that at the time she cannot control, and that may cause injury to people. Later in life, she becomes a hermit and lives away from all of her countrymen, and unfortunately creates a situation with her powers that puts, you know, their hometown into an unending winter. And so then, you know, the whole gist of the story is the, you know, younger sister trying to find the older sister to reunite and to hopefully end this forever winter. That is such a simplistic way of describing the plot of Frozen, but I mean, I think it kind of gets the main point across and potentially opens the door to conversations about whether it is just Mei that we are seeing in the Acolyte trailer, or if there is somebody else and Mei is connected with that other person somehow, and it's this other person that is actually murdering Jedi, and Mei becomes part of the solution of finding out who it is. And the worst news, that it could be somebody that she is deeply connected to. There is also something particular about Frozen that I think could apply to, you know, something else that people have been arguing a lot about with the Acolyte trailer, and I will get to that, but there's something else I want to talk about first, which is our fourth takeaway. And it's about how Leslie Headland has talked about this story, both in terms of the personal relationships and also of the institution and forces rebelling against the institution. She's said kind of different things in different interviews. She has said that she wanted to focus on the personal relationships and certainly the mentor-mentee kind of relationship in the story. But she's also telling a story, as she's noted in other places, about the Jedi being an institution at that point in the story, in the overall canon timeline, being at the height of their power, and that this is a story about the Sith. So in her reckoning, and this makes complete sense actually, the Jedi are not at the height of their power when we see them in The Phantom Menace, because as she notes, Palpatine has managed to become a senator and is right in their midst, and nobody has any idea that there's a Sith Lord right there. So in Hedlund's reckoning, this time, which is around 132 BBY, the Jedi could be considered at the very height of their power. And how would the Sith get started? How would they go from being, for all intents and purposes, extinct and following this very quiet rule of two thing to laying the groundwork for actually coming back to power? So now I get to circle back to Frozen, the thing I wanted to mention about that, and its potential connection to what's going on in that timeline of the Acolyte. So this is our fifth takeaway, which is that there is a power generally associated with the dark side of the Force called a memory rub. And even though Leslie Headon has said that she's brought a number of expanded universe, aka Legends stuff, back into Star Wars storytelling, this memory rub concept has actually been used in what is current canon if you go back to the Mortis story arc in season 3 of The Clone Wars. The TLDR version is that Anakin in that story arc is shown his future as Darth Vader, and the father of that trilogy of people in Mortis memory rubs him so that he does not have any recollection of that vision of the future. So for all the people out there arguing about how if a Sith shows up and there are Jedi there, then all the Jedi have to die because that's the only way the Sith could be kept a secret, nope. There are a lot of explanations for why that could be the case, and there's yet another one of them. Now for a sixth takeaway, I'm going to kind of go both sides on something here, which is that there's somebody else who apparently also has a memory rub or memory wipe capability, and that is Master Yoda. However, Master Yoda may not necessarily be appearing in The Acolyte, even though we were talking about that possibility because he was linked in databank entries about The Acolyte. We were talking about that just a few days ago. But Hedlund has said that there's not a lot of appearances of characters where you would be like, hey, I know that character, and has even described the appearance of Vernestra Rowe in the story as being in there only a little bit, that's quote unquote. And Vernestra is, of course, a significant character in High Republic storytelling as we have it so far. So yeah, the possibility of Yoda showing up, yeah, I could go either way in arguing it basically. But there is one other thing to consider about that as well. It's our seventh and final takeaway. And for a seventh and final takeaway, we'll tie back into that fourth one about how I was saying that the Sith are kind of laying the groundwork for their return to power. And it's that Hedlund has said that she didn't just pitch this one season to Kathleen Kennedy. What she actually pitched was a rough outline of season 1 and an entire series Bible. So this is intended to be a multi-season story, and we're just gonna have to see how well season 1 goes over to see if we actually get more of what's gonna happen in The Acolyte. And if that happens, then we might actually have some Sith lineage fleshed out, which would go working backward from Darth Sidious, aka Sheev Palpatine, to his master Darth Plagueis, who would be approximately 15 years old-ish at the time of season 1 of The Acolyte, to then who Plagueis' master was, which is Darth Tenebris, and is a Bith, so like the Cantina band in the original A New Hope. And yes, they do seem to have hands that would at least, you know, passingly resemble the hand that we saw on that red-bladed lightsaber in the trailer. So who knows, that could be the case. So that's what I've got for you on our last look for now at The Acolyte and all the things that have come out related to the trailer in addition to the trailer, and that's going to do it for this episode of the show. If you enjoy the show, I hope you will consider leaving a rating or review on your favorite app if you haven't done that already. There's usually a subscribe or a like or a follow or a join button where if you hit that, then you'll be sure to get these in your suggestions and feed, and it also tells the algorithms, hey, other Star Wars fans should check this out, as well as you just telling people to check it out too. That is extremely helpful, and yeah, there's one other thing too, of course, which is helping support the production of this podcast and getting it to audiences around the world, and you can do that for literally just $1 a month, and you can do a little bit more too if you like. You can learn more about that at patreon.com/SW7X7. The numbers are sevens, so SW, the number seven, the letter X, and the number seven at patreon.com. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always. And may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.